to Candyman, a podcast where we are not talking about the original Candyman, which almost starred Eddie Murphy, except it turned out he was too short. I'm Alex.
That sounds made up.
He was 5'9", and they wanted to get somebody taller. Tony Todd, who played Candyman, was 6'5", so they cast him instead.
That sounds like somebody's like, oh, I don't know. Yeah, he's too short. Anyway, let's move on. I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And we are actually going to be talking about Sweet Tooth, Season Woo! 3, Episode 2, Thank God Woo! I'm a Country Boy. And then later on in the show, we're going to be taste testing. We're going to be taste testing. We'll talk about that in a second. We're going to be taste testing Haribo Gold Bears. I forgot to mention, I just want to do like a point of order. Last episode, we tasted snow caps. The whole point was because they're going to Alaska, in case you couldn't figure it out. So we are snow caps because of Alaska. This episode, of course, Haribo Gold Bears because of Caribou Man, right? That's why we did that.
I would like to down my original review. Great to eat, but when you get to the bottom of the box, those little fucking white things go everywhere, man.
Yeah.
All right. Fuck me, that sucked.
Save that.
You're saying you had a bit of an avalanche.
I did. Yeah.
Oh, big fan. Well, we'll see how that stacks up when we get to the Syrup Cup the end of the season, but as mentioned, Sweet Tooth, Season 3, Episode 2. If you haven't watched it, go watch it on Netflix. But brief bit of recap. We got a bunch of different trains running, but the main one is our main group. After meeting up with Singh again, don't really trust him, of course, since he killed a bunch of animal kids, among other things. But they end up going to a house very remote, very far out in the woods, where there's a family, there's a mother, there's a father, there's a kid. The kid, spoiler alert here, but the kid, by the end of the episode, turns out to be an animal child who has been forced
to bind.
He is literal Batman. He has been forced to bind his wings, among other things. They are having another kid who turns out to be a mouse kid, I want to say, is what's going on there. But whatever it is, that's the main thing they're wrestling with over the course of the episode, as Singh tries to prove himself to the group why he needs to go to Alaska to find this cave. He's having the same visions as Sweet Tooth. Meanwhile, the two other things that we check in on, we get a bunch more about, I don't know if it's actually Texas, but I'm going to say the Texas gang that's led by Mrs. Zhang.
From what I know about their hats, they're in Texas.
Yeah. So that gang, we find out a lot more about them, including, I forgot to mention this last episode, Rosie. We spend more time with her, played by Kelly Marie Tran, who people probably know from Star Wars The Last Jedi, among other things. And she is tracking down our main characters. Meanwhile, in Alaska, we get two big things there. Well, we get one thing, which is we're following this mother-daughter pair who really trying to manage like a lot of power maintenance is what's going on.
Yeah, it's a literal power struggle.
Yes. Hey! And they are searching for Birdie. They know Birdie is in trouble. Birdie has been taken by the Caribou Gold Bear himself, as is revealed at the end of the episode. So that's the broad overview of stuff. Let's jump into it. Pete, you wanted to talk about the title, and I am curious if Justin has any theories about this. Thank God I'm a Country Boy. It's a John Denver song.
John Denver's full of shit. Yeah. That's repeat. One of the best jokes ever in a movie from Dumb and Dumber.
Why this song? Like, it's about life on a farm, so it could have something to do with the farmhouse that they're visiting. It could have something to do with the Texas gang that we're talking about. It isn't immediately clear to me. Do you have any theories, Justin? Pete and I had a long conversation about
this. Well, I would like to give Justin a little more time and talk about what I think it is. I think it's just a reference to just Gus being Gus, where like Gus is kind of rushes in and saves the dragon boy, you know, Pete the dragon. And no, his name isn't Pete. It's Heron. What is it?
No.
Theo.
Yeah.
Heron.
Yeah. By the way, I just want to mention something here because I don't know how they do it on the show. And sorry, this is waylaying a bit. One of the things that I thought was very well and relatively subtly done about this episode was a very clear trans metaphor going on with the character of Theo down to having their wings bound. The reason I bring this up, I don't know that they use Theo's pronouns at any point, and I think purposefully so. You know, they referred to, the father referred to Theo as his son, but I don't think Theo used it anyway. Clearly, Theo has very long hair, so there's a bit of an androgynous look going on there. But again, very specifically with binding down the wings, that's certainly what I took away from it. So
I was thinking of like the binding of feet that sometimes happens, but I can
you
see
always what are. I was going to say just identity, but I like a slightly expanded version of identity where he's forced to mask himself literally, which, and also like he wants to fly. So he has the same urge, even though it's underneath his, the disguise that presumably his family makes him wear. And then he gets to.
Did you think Theo was going to go splat at the end of the episode?
I thought, or fly.
Yeah. Well, he did fly. He hovered a little bit. I really was like, this show can't possibly go dark enough for a kid to be like, I can fly.
Yeah.
And luckily they didn't.
That's nice. What's wrong with us?
I thought it was a Titanic reference, you know.
I'm flying. Back to Thank God I'm a Country Boy. I mean, John Denver, real Rocky Mountain. They're sort of in the Rockies here, so I think that's a connection. Also, the line that directly precedes Thank God I'm a Country Boy in the song is, life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle, I believe. And I think we're getting into a little bit of that territory here. Last episode, we had the idea that when Sweet Tooth puts all of his syrup, his last bit of syrup, and plays roulette with it, thinking, of course, they're going to win, loses. So it's like, oh, what does that mean? They're not just on a nonstop win here. But then we get sort of the opposite here, where we have Singh showing up, who's like, we share the same vision. And so then there's sort of prophecy, deeper logic, and deeper sort of narrative path they're on seems to be coming true again. So I'm probably extrapolating a little hard, but it does feel like this whole thing is a funny, funny riddle, to quote John Denver.
Yeah. Also, it's an interesting idea that this show is talking about, is that you should find out who has the same maybe reoccurring nightmares as you do and hang out with them because, you need to be in the same group.
Pete, I
yeah,
am
like
doing
we
that.
All have. Yeah, that's us. Yeah, the teeth falling out, right?
This is. Oh, I was going to say this. I have a recurring nightmare about having to podcast while the entire time my friend is staring at his candy and can't stop thinking about it.
Oh,
yeah.
I do want to mention, like, as a little sidebar, we haven't really had to deal with it too much this episode because Pete, I think, is sleepier than he was in the last one, but. I had forgotten how stressful it was to do this podcast, and I don't mean in terms of the show. I mean in terms of the texting about which candy we're going to get, because Pete is so serious about it. This is not slamming you, Pete. It's just like, it's
everyone has their passions. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And let me just say, because we're not getting your sort of average, we can't do Snickers every episode. We're getting into more esoteric candies. Mm-hmm. So it requires a little bit of a journey to find.
All remember, Snickers was your favorite dickhead. I'm more of a Milky Way guy.
And we won, and I believe we won the Syrup Cup with the Snickers the first season. Here's the thing, like James Brolin, I think when it comes to our candy, we all have stories to tell.
Well, speaking of the voiceover,
we tell to others, but we tell all of them.
One thing
ourselves.
That I would like to talk about as
candy.
Far as the stress of the show is that I do get very stressed out by this show, but once you kind of get that opening sweeping shot of a beautiful landscape, followed up by the sultry tones of a Brolin, it really does put you kind of back into a nice place for the start of it. And also at the end, they gave us a nice sweeping shot. So I do feel very taken care of in this show, but it is stressful.
Pete loves the sweep. He loves the sweep, and he's always Brolin, Brolin, Brolin.
Oh, my God. What? God damn it.
What?
I was about to say that.
Sorry.
Look who's sleepy.
Yeah.
Fall asleep at the wheel there, Zalbatron.
Sure I am. No, I was ceding my time, but clearly I shouldn't have because that was an incredible joke. So kudos to you, sir.
Incredible joke.
We should try
kudos. We should try kudos.
I don't know quite.
It's always an incredible joke when it's the one that you are also about to make.
Yeah, wow,
man, that guy's funny.
That's brilliant.
Yeah,
he's so smart. How did he come up with that?
Anybody tell you how great you are?
That's so cool.
Yeah, that's so cool.
I want to talk about the Sing prophecy stuff a little bit. Yes. You know, we've read the comic book, so we know this is part and parcel with the comic book, and it does, this is no spoiler because we're already at this point, but it does get very mystical, particularly the further it goes along and the closer it gets to the end game, just as it here is here on the show. There's always an air of a fairy tale about this show, but this definitely take things out of the realm of science fiction and into the realm of fantasy, or at least seem to. How do you guys feel about this turn, even if we've gotten little notes of it before?
I mean, it's heartbreaking. I mean, you fall in love with a rooster just to see it get fucking brutally murdered. You know what I mean?
That's Pete, real quick, that's an unrelated topic.
Well, that's an I think that's pretty related.
Yeah, did because roosters are science fiction and them dying is fantasy.
Whoa. Yeah, exactly. Those a beast like a rooster will never die. They're up first every day. Mm-hmm. What I would say about that is it is strange because there's not a lot of acknowledgement of it. Of the departure from believing in science and like how, especially when it's a lot of it is how hard their journey is going to be. Everything feels like a struggle. And at the same time, they're like, you guys are having the same dream about the same thing and everyone knows it. And they're all just like, chill about it. Well, so I want that conversation.
Except for Jep, who, what does he call it? Woo-woo? Or he's like,
he says it's enough of this woo-woo stuff.
Yeah. Which I agree with him. Enough of this woo-woo stuff. Let's get back on the road. I did really like, conversely, from the previous episode where I felt like they moved on from the casino too quickly. Here, I thought we spent a nice amount of time in this house over the course of this episode. I thought this was a good story and a really well-paced one where there were some weird inconsistencies for an otherwise very consistent show in the premiere. I thought this got it back on track.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, there's still some stuff where I'm like, wow, Becky really broke into this room and got the info she needed. Like, there's definitely some stuff where it's a little bit happening fast still. But I agree with you. Like, I did like this story a lot. And they still keep the core of the fun and these people who are just like a great positive family. I thought the scenes with Wendy, Gus, and Theo were so good. Like, maybe my favorite part of the episode. And it really paid off in the dread we felt at the birth when the dad was coming back there. It was just such a nice point, counterpoint, emotional. Like, I was super swept up in that emotional, that two-part there.
Yeah, we also got a moment, though, which I thought was interesting, since you brought up the thing about Gus losing roulette the last episode. This episode, too, it eventually pays off, but Gus being like, just really concentrate and you'll be able to use superpower, and it doesn't work at all. I think this is part of, this is all Gus's growing up journey. Like, that's the show. Yeah. Like, that's the basic concept. But here in the season, we're really digging into the older you get, the more wrong you are often, you know?
Yeah. Very
more
true.
Exposure. But I mean, it is crazy to imagine anyone at our age even still trying to see if they have superpowers, right?
What?
Yeah, that would be.
Shut up. Yeah, I want to eat candy.
We would never do that.
Absolutely.
You did bring up an interesting point. It was a funny moment when Gus was like, oh, yeah, use your powers. And then he hits him in the head with a beach ball. I mean, that was pretty hilarious.
It's fun.
Yeah.
I just really liked how they figured that out, that moment. Particularly, I think it was the shot of Wendy, where you could see the gears turning in her head, realizing, oh, wait, Theo is talking about it this way. Because he's an animal child as well.
She called
really good
it.
Acting there, really smartly done, really rolled out, because I didn't predict that throughout the show, and it made total sense in retrospect with everything else. I really liked how they treated the father character, who is reprehensible, but clearly also conflicted at the same time, and playing all of those emotions simultaneously. Again, really well done. good family dynamic there. These sequences.
And while we're on that, I feel like we get just a touch of how misinformation can change everything about a person. And we get a little bit of like that misinformation about the hybrids and what's happening. We get it used where the father believes so hard and he almost like basically ruins his family over it. And I think by the end, he doesn't because of the misinformation he's had. And then we get in Alaska, Sienna is using misinformation for what she believes, and I think we're meant to believe, is a positive, by scaring everyone to think the sick is bigger than it is. So I thought that again, like a really interesting, smart play off of each other there.
But is that misinformation? Because we know the sick is getting worse and exponentially so.
Well, but her daughter says, is like her Yuka calls her out and is like, hey, how do you know that? And she doesn't. She's making it up. Even if we know it's bad. But I would say, is it getting worse? It doesn't seem like it's getting worse. It's just bad.
Also, that dad just kind of like momentarily stopped. Like you don't see the dad holding the baby. You know, the mom's always holding the baby, and I'm thinking she's a little worried about leaving the baby alone with the dad. You know what I mean? Like, I'm still a little worried about how that, you know, I don't think that guy is instantly, like, accepting his child.
No, he's definitely not.
But yeah. I just think that they handled it in an interesting way. Yeah, I really liked also the way Dr. Singh like handled Jep, you know, and he was like, I don't know what you two got fucking planned or what thing you guys are working on, but we got to focus up here because I got to deliver this baby and then whatever you're at. I thought that was just like the way the doc was like stepped away, handled those two, and then went right back to the baby was impressive because things were not going well. And I was like, oh, I think the doc's trying to tap out right here. But it was impressive the way he kind of re-engaged.
I mean, he's been dealing with the last men for like years at this point. I feel like he's like, hey, I have a feeling you're about to fuck something up. So just give me a second to deliver this baby before we do that.
All of the stuff with Singh was so good, I thought, in this episode. Yeah. He also brings such a great note and different connections with this group. Like last episode, we had four people who all like each other and want to be with each other and want to help each other and are very earnest. Throwing Singh in there, who has a metaphysical connection with Sweet Tooth. Wendy hates him. Becky and Jep don't really know him but want to protect Sweet Tooth. And just generally, like, there's also the last men connection between Jep and Singh as well. I think there's so many interesting dynamics going on there. It's good. The last thing I want to say, and then I wanted to turn it over to you, Justin, is the moment, again, that I thought was very subtly done that you only really know if you've been watching the show this long is Singh pausing and being like, I'm not going to cut the tail off of that baby or I'm not going to cut the ears off. That's what he's been doing the entire time. So that is such a clear indicator of how he has changed and he has learned his lesson. So even if he still needs to prove himself to the group, at least from my perspective, he's proved himself to the audience.
Wow. And I think I think it's the big first step on proving it to them as well. Like specifically
totally
Wendy and Becky.
Good to go.
No, but that's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying like this is the crew, I think. And what I was going to say earlier is last episode, it felt like the Jep being like, I'm out. I was like, no, you're not. I just didn't buy him bailing on the crew. With Singh in there, now we actually have some dynamics where I'm like, oh, this could all blow up at any time. And it feels like dramatically much more satisfying, I think, to watch these folks all try to move. Because they do care about each other, despite the fact that there are some, you know, negative feelings in there as well.
Yeah, and I think the fact that they kind of are rolling with a doctor now is going to be bad news for that bullet that's just kind of floating around in Jep. But I did really think that the
wait, it's bad news for the bullet, a character you love.
No, I'm saying it's bad news for Jep because they're like, oh yeah, remember I've been shot. Oh yeah, remember. And he's like, I'm a doctor. Eventually he's going to look at that and be like, yo, this is horrible. But I did really like the kind of traveling salesman moment where the doc gets his foot in the door, you know, just as they're closing. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, you know, don't. I thought that
I
was
hear medical noises in there. I'm a doctor.
I'm a doctor. Somebody in pain?
I don't know if we talked about this with the previous two seasons, but do you think the character is called Sing after the movie series Sing, where there's a bunch of animal people who are singing songs?
Oh, yeah, that's a clear connection.
If he starts singing, then yes, but until then, no.
Okay.
You want to be Dr. Sing?
Nah. They should do a musical episode. I know they only have like
if
six episodes.
If he sings and it's the voice of Matthew McConaughey, then I'll say okay.
Matthew McConaughey, asterisk, as a koala, because we want to be like in continuity with the Sing movies.
Yeah, of course,
I think we're all clear on that.
Yeah, yeah.
While we're talking about that moment, like, I love just screaming pinkies at the people at your door.
Pinkies!
That's a good way. That's how I'm going to greet anyone popping
up.
The Amazon guy. Yeah, exactly. Nice. And he'll know. He'll pop it up.
Yeah.
Will he know?
Like, nope. No pinkies popping there.
If someone just yells pinkies at me, I'm not going
to
put.
We're fine, by the way. If you're listening to the other podcast.
Stop.
There's nothing wrong with our pinkies.
Oh, this is so gross.
UP hates when the pinkies are popping.
Yeah, I don't like it at all.
Can we talk about the crumble?
Why don't we move on to some of the other sections? I know we talked about it briefly, but the whole Texas stuff, if it is Texas, if it's not Texas, please, nobody correct us. But we get to see a calf birth, which obviously ties into the human birth. That's what's going on there. But man, they got a whole soap opera going on down there with the young daughter who is pregnant by this dude who doesn't want to be there, doesn't want to talk to his mother-in-law.
Can't trust the baby.
Mm-hmm. Rosie maybe had some sort of like thing with him or something like that. I don't know. Not 100% clear, but they pack so much information into those few scenes there.
It's very dramatic / melodramatic. Like, it's such soap opera. Yeah. So like, I sort of want to get some more time there so I can like it more. Because now it's just,
you'll get
it's
more
dialed up so hard. And I'm just like, when she's like, yeah, everything will be right soon when there's no more hybrids. And I'm like, okay, we know.
She is straight supervillain, like, to 11, dude. It is crazy how cranked up she is.
Yeah, I don't know if we're going to get it.
She's like, no, I want you to see this.
I don't know when there's time, you know? We're running out of hours for the show.
Well,
so.
Speaking of that, I'm a little upset that the show keeps going, you have to hurry, we're running out of time. Hey, make sure we're hurrying, we're running out of time. Hey, I don't know if anyone's brought this up. It was literally like three scenes in a row where it was talking about how there's no time.
What did you think about Jeff's line where he's like, we only have six episodes left?
I thought that was
Honestly, I like the honesty. Yeah. I appreciate knowing what's up.
He's
always tapping his wrist when it's like, hey, Gus, should you be talking so much?
Are you using the blue pages or the yellow pages?
Oh, man.
Exactly. We got new pages. Pink pages came in this morning.
Oh, man.
They're a little shorter.
So we got the Texas stuff. We can talk about the Alaska stuff as well. This is another one. I feel like with this, too, there's this whole story going on there, and I don't mind it. But at the same time, I'm like, are you just doing this so that there's a time dash between what's going on in the farmhouse? Because I don't know why we're talking about you got to share power on alternate days or anything.
I agree. If they're making this thematic connection about misinformation that I was saying earlier, like, I like that idea and sort of seeing how some people use it for quote unquote good and other people use it to quote unquote control people or for evil. So that's cool, but it is strange because we don't really know these characters. We're not invested in the different power of the different places.
I'm team plant, man. I'm not team snowmobile. I'll tell you that right now.
Wow, interesting. Last episode, you loved the snowmobile. All you talked about was the vroom vroom and the slush. Now you're team plant suddenly?
I'm team plant.
Yeah, it, there's got to be a reason here. Like, the show is pretty tightly constructed usually, so they're not just throwing it in. But it, plot-wise, they talk about the power-sharing stuff. They talk about the sick stuff, which we already knew. They're like, boy, that's rough for Birdie. I guess we should go look for her. Well, she's gone. Lost in the snow, probably. And, like, again, we'll probably see them again, but it definitely feels like it's killing time in a weird way when we just want to get to what is going on with Bernie and Gus and focus it on that, or at least.
But it's killing time, but it's also they're drawing a focus here on Yuka, the blue-eyed husky girl, who is very much like, I feel like, in charge. Weirdly, she's always given the ability by her mom.
Really, yeah. Well, that was impressive for a kid to be able to settle that. Oh man.
I'm sure that we're going to get our family, our Gus-led family, up there, and we're meeting these characters because they're going to play a role in that. So that's cool.
I'm just saying Husky for president, because if she can de-escalate like that in a post-apocalyptic world, I feel like we're going to need that. You know what I mean?
But I think she's already basically in charge. She's been elected by a shadow cabinet made up of Sienna, who just says whatever. I also thought it was strange when they're like, what's this snowmobile? These tracks, strange. I think it's the Caribou Man. I was like, oh, that wasn't your first that's thought?
Something we know about it? All right.
Yeah, she's like, what do you think about this being the Caribou Man? Like, the giant prince walking upright? Strong guess for the Caribou Man.
And what do you know? Turns out to be the Caribou Man at the end of the episode, who has Bernie in his caribou cabin, I guess. And
his caribou church.
Picture of Gus going on there. What's your speculation? Because I know these are things that are like skirting through my thoughts from the book, but I don't actually remember how they all come together. Yeah. I definitely remember a church. I feel like maybe it's in the cave, but maybe I'm wrong about that.
The mom knew the church, that's for sure.
Bernie, I do think we're in the cave, and this is where like the survivors of Thackeray's crew have somehow been here, and he's the first hybrid. Mm-hmm. Because I believe technically Gus is the first hybrid so far. So introducing a Caribou Man is a big change.
We saw in the last episode, there was a woman who wandered around away from Thackeray's boat. She was I think Inuit woman and was pregnant.
I believe so. First mate's, wife, I think, is.
So Caribou Man is probably her kid, and I assume well over 100 years old at this point. So there might be something about like, they cure all disease. Animal kids live way longer than anybody else.
Yeah, I think that's true. That dude, Caribou Man, sick hood. His hood is like a full circle.
Yeah.
Most hoods are oval at best. This guy's got a full hoop rocking.
I mean, when you're a caribou man, you know what I mean? You got talent for days. One thing that can't believe we haven't brought up yet is the star of the show is finally brought up in this episode. I'm a little heartbroken that nobody knows who he is or what animal he is, but they finally started talking about Bobby and they were like, oh, yeah, he digs. And they were like, well, what's Bobby? And all of a sudden, nobody knew he was a mole man. Like, what the fuck? Everybody's
definitely not a mole man. I think he's either a groundhog or a gopher. I think a gopher, though.
I think it's the same groundhog from Caddyshack.
Right. Yeah. He did the I'm all right dance, right?
Yeah. Definitely a very old reference there. It was strange to reference all those people that were probably not going to see again.
Yeah. But it was weird that they were like, there's this one guy who digs. And they're like, what is he? And nobody knew. I was like, you guys spent a lot of time with Bobby and you don't know what he is.
No, it's post-crumble, man. They're not keeping track. Wait,
post-crumble? You're talking about when the cookie crumbles?
The crumble is what they call the end of the world, and it's post-crumble. And we know there are two things about the crumble that have one thing that's been lost and one thing that's been found.
Can I just mention for Pete, though?
Please.
Also, it is also post-crumble cookies, the chain, because they're probably closed down by now. But take it away, Justin.
Unless that's maybe a plot later that they are somehow the villains running all of this. Yeah. Something to think about. I think the two things I was going to say is that people don't pronounce lasagna the traditional way. It's lasagna. Yeah.
Lasagna.
And second, that even in post-crumble, you can log 200 hours on a flight simulator. Because that's what Becky did. I don't know when she squeezed that in.
She started in an arcade. She lived in an arcade.
Lived in an arcade for a while, bro.
And that was a flight simulator?
Air Force level flight simulator in the arcade that she lived in. Have you ever been to Dave Buster's?
It's all like legit.
Yeah. It's nuts the recruiting going on.
Oh, I just thought that was very funny. I would have liked to call out there if it was just she played like 1942, the original arcade game.
Wow. 100 tickets get you some bottle caps. 1,000 tickets get you a Funko Pop. 10,000 tickets, you're getting recruited by the Air Force, baby.
Oh, no.
I don't want that. Put it back. Any other notes for the episode? Any other things that we should mention?
Two quick things. I thought it was at the beginning, dramatic scene, future mother's water breaks. And dad's like, I have to go get a doctor. And then you just cut to him getting in a plane. I was like, yo, how far are you going, guy? I thought that was obviously not meant perhaps as a joke, but I thought it was very funny. I'll be right back. I'm just getting cigarettes.
Well, it was wild, too, because he had the coffee van. Like, I guess he was a coffee delivery guy or owned a coffee place back in the day or something like that. So he could have driven there. But instead, he's like, nope, I got to do this plane so these people who are the main characters of the show could see me and follow that plane back to where I live.
But, I mean, shouts to the idea that if you have a car and a plane and you're like, who cares? No worries on which one you choose. Yeah, I'm choosing a plane every day.
Every day.
Like, hey, I got to run out and get some
hay. Although the van was sick. You know, Theo kind of downplayed it, but it was a pretty sick van.
Yeah, it's like a killer roast. I can't wait to get in there. But if I'm running out to get some Haribo Gold Bears, yeah, I'm taking the plane. The quarter of a mile I have to go to the whatever pharmacy. The only other thing I want to say is, how do you feel about the name Hieronymus? Because she had that on lock.
She sure did. It's almost like she's been thinking about it for 8 months or something. Mm-hmm.
Hieronymus, I'm guessing that's the reference to Hieronymus Bosch, the famous painter who painted a lot of
I thought you were talking about the show, Bosch, right?
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm always sort of sneaking up on a Bosch reference. That's the most old man shit you can ever reference in a Bosch fan. Median age of Bosch fan base is like 55-year-old man.
But you were saying Hieronymus Bosch drew a lot of animal paintings?
Back in the day, Hieronymus Bosch. So I'm assuming that's the reference there. And a great ref, difficult named. What's the nickname there?
Hero?
That's good.
Ooh, yeah. I did.
Bosch?
Hieronymus is right there.
Oh, so. Maybe that's what it was. Maybe she was like, mouse, Hieronymus.
You got Mickey on the table.
Yeah. Or, you know, I just think that oh my God, I totally forgot what I was going to say. I was distracted.
Sweet Tooth.
I was trying to think of Mighty Mouse, and then you got me distracted on that, and I forgot what I was going to do. I want to talk about how much I love Theo. Like, you kind of start off by thinking, like, Theo is one thing. He's just a kid who's stuck being, you know, like, everything is superheroes and super, you know. But the kind of Theo reveal, and then by the end of the episode, you're kind of, like, missing him, and then they give you, like, a little bit more. I just think it's they really did a great job of, like, setting us up and then kind of being like, oh, it's kind of sad that Theo's gone, and then they kind of cut back to him, so... I just think they're doing really smart work on this show.
We might get more of this family as well, because they are sort of recruited at the end by Rosie in a very dramatic moment.
Yeah.
I also think it
was fun when, you know, Gus was like, did you just use your powers? It's badass.
That was great. And the fist bump, too. The Friends for Life fist bump. Very sweet. Oh Pete has moved on. And I think that actually is good news to move on to our...
What's that sound? I guess it's time to move on to our next segment.
Time to talk about another animal child over here, the bear on the front of the Haribo Gold Bears, which is another reason, of course, we chose this. It wasn't accidental at all. I'm glad we all got Haribo Gold Bears. It was a little bit up the air when we said gummy bears, but this is the classic. This is the one. You got
gummy bears bouncing here and there and everywhere. You got to get
Pete's that. Already done with his bag, I think is what happened. So one thing that I always forget about these is they have different flavors, because who knows that? But
this bag is...
How do you forget that?
I have two tiny Halloween-style bags that are definitely 6 months old, but they have different colors in each.
Yeah. But the flavors are orange, strawberry, which is green, weirdly, raspberry, lemon, and pineapple. So there you go.
Yeah, I'm trying to see the difference from the lemon and the pineapple.
Lemon is yellow. Pineapple is clear. Pineapple's good. I mean, these are good.
They're all good.
Yeah.
They're fucking great.
Mm-hmm. They're a staple. What I like about these is they're toys also. Like, you can sort of have a little.
Oh, yeah.
Little kiss.
Hey, take it. This is a PG-13 show, bro.
Which I feel like we don't need to discuss this too much, but like, you know, guys know these. Do you have a favorite flavor if you knew they were?
The green ones.
Green?
I don't like gummy bears.
What?
It's like hard to eat them.
What are you talking about? How about like the TV show?
Chewing. I love the TV show.
Bouncing here and there and every day?
It's like chewing hard gum.
It does. I mean, we should clarify, you have ones from 6 months ago, right?
Yeah.
Mine are fresh out the factory?
Mine are fresh and delicious.
Mine are fresh, too. They don't stay good forever. I'm about to share the most disgusting fact I possibly can in the entire world, but...
Made from human bone?
No, fact about me, worse.
Oh.
You're made from human bone?
I mean, mostly.
Technically.
I'm double bones.
I like gummy bears. If you get them, this is not the fact, but if you get them at the store and they've been sitting there for a while, they definitely get stale. Like, you have to check the expiration date, because I've gotten them with my son sometimes after school. Yes, I know. But you don't think that, I think, with like gummy bears, that they're going to go bad at any point because they're just all sugar and that's it. But they get very hard very quickly. The disgusting thing that I was going to share, my brother and I used to do this all the time when we were kids.
Ooh, this sounds juicy.
We both had fish tanks. And, you know, on a fish tank, you have, like, the light strip to, like, keep it warm and give your fish light and whatever else. We used to take gummy bears and line them up on top of the lamp and let them sit there for, like, half an hour. And they kept the shape, but then were all gooey inside.
Ooh, that's cool.
Yeah, they're real good. I'm sure there's a less disgusting way of doing that than putting it on a fish tank, but there you go.
Fish tanks are gross. No matter how hard you
microwave.
Yeah, so you're no on gummy bears.
I would never choose to eat these on the reg.
Yeah. What?
Especially when you got Sour Patch Kids right on the shelf.
That's a different thing.
Yeah.
I know, and one I prefer greatly. I'll give it up for the pineapple.
You don't have any nostalgia for gummy bears, bro?
I wasn't eating these. When were you eating these all the time? Were you talking about the cartoon? Kid. No, I know.
Every single candy that we talk about on this show, Pete was eating as a kid.
But how do you eat? How are you consuming all this candy? Were you just going to the store and you would just pick a different candy all the time?
Oh, yeah. I was constantly trying different candy. And
I was going to
the store and buying them legally.
Legally?
Wow. I wasn't...
That sounds like you were stealing.
I wasn't then selling them in the lunchroom to kids.
What?
Pete's talking about a crime ring.
Right.
Yeah, so Pete's favorite is green.
I had a candy crime ring going. I got in trouble.
You bought candy at like the deli and then upsold it in the lunchroom? Stole.
For profit.
My God. Pete, you nasty little criminal. My goodness.
No wonder you love candy so much. It tastes like sin. It tastes like old crimes. So Pete loves green. Alex?
I kind of like the pineapple bears. My problem with gummy bears is the flavor.
I don't like this scent.
No, it's just that I can't stop eating gummy bears when I start eating gummy bears and just... They all start to taste the same very quickly to me because they're so sweet. So pineapple's definitely the best, but after the third one, I can't taste anything other than this is gummy bear.
Pineapple is the best. Maybe what you're so addicted to, Alex, is the white beeswax in here.
God. Man, if I could stick my head in a white beehive.
Yeah.
Don't be racist.
You know what I love in here? The traces of milk.
Oh yeah, you really can taste it. Those,
yeah.
Yeah. Just a little trace here and there. Yeah.
Oh, there's wheat. There's wheat in here. So it's
or
healthy.
Corn. It says wheat or corn.
Really? Mine just says wheat.
Yeah, mine says, wheat.
Or corn. Yeah.
Well, it definitely has corn. It's made from corn syrup.
Yeah. Glucose syrup. Oh, you're looking at the glucose syrup from wheat or corn. I'm looking at may contain wheat traces of milk.
But it doesn't say dextrose from wheat or corn.
No, it doesn't say that. We're just, we jumped to the end of the credits.
Just keep reading. Pete, you got a whole novel in front of you.
How do you think the traces of milk got in there?
I don't know. That sounds like somebody made a mistake once. And they're like, oh, man, there's probably still milk from when Dave made that milk mess. Or when Dave brought his pregnant cow in here and gave birth, and it was a mess.
Well, there you go. Caribou Man, Gold Bear Man, successfully reviewed. We'll try
a huge success.
Huge success.
Now, it's funny. The Snow Caps was a triple banger win. And
I was kind
of anti snow caps.
You were out on snow caps. Oh, wow.
Yeah. I'm not out on them. Like, I'm not going to be hanging in chocolate chips with candy on them.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I guess we'll see what happens. This is an interesting season that we've started off with, both in terms of the TV show, but more importantly, in terms of the candy.
So far, I've loved everything.
If you'd like to support this podcast and all the podcasts we do, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to Facebook and YouTube. Come hang out. We would love to chat with you about Sweet Tooth, Apple, Spotify, Pete's Going Crazy, or the app of your choice. If you'd like to subscribe, listen, follow the show at Comic Book Live on Twitter/X, Comic Book Club Live on TikTok and Instagram, comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, the Candyman Cad.
Woohoo! Where are these gummy bears born? In the stories they tell to their gummy moms and their gummy dads?
Bouncing here and there and everywhere.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.